very special. God's brought you here for such a day as this. To open up that moment, to open up that heart, to open up that time, though, we'd like for you to recognize how unique you are in God's eyes. Every life is a miracle. You are somebody special in God's eyes. And I want you to know that this day. But I also want you to know that as special as you are, you've been dealt the blow. And some of you didn't even know it. Do y'all know what hoodwinked means? Yeah, you've been hoodwinked. This is one of the times in which you're going to come to the church, and the instruction from the pulpit is this: rebel against the government. And you can say, what? That's exactly right. You heard it straight. Rebel against the government. In what capacity? It's in the capacity that is discovered in Genesis chapter 2. In the capacity in which we've discovered in Genesis chapter 2, we find that God created man. God created man. We have been dealt a hoax that is called evolution. I don't know about you, but I can go back in my early days. That was a long time ago. Okay, all right, me and Noah came over on the boat. I mean, not exactly, but... but I remember looking at these pictures of the drawings of these apes becoming man. Do you remember that? And because it's in your mind, because it's locked in here, because you read it, because it was in the book, because it was taught, in your mind it's burned in as though it is fact. When in reality, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. It is what we call fiction. It is what every one of our students will have to regurgitate on the page. It is what every one of our students that are godly students will have to formulate in principle a lie. Because they're going to be going against the standards of the Scripture in which they have been taught. But they will have to, in order to go through our educational system, they will have to regurgitate, and give back to those who give the test what they are asking for, even though it goes against their very core belief. That's the reason why I say, yes, there are times in which we must take a stand against our government. Because our government has those people in strategic positions that were raised like I was raised, saw the charts in print, and yet they accepted it. They will call it fact, when in reality, it's theory. And today, what we're going to be focusing in on, let's think about a hoax. What is a hoax? A hoax is, in fact, we got some prints going off now. A hoax is this: to trick into believing or accepting as genuine something false or preposterous. To accept it, even no matter how big it is. And you can say, well, why are we so concerned about this? Because we have young minds who are wrestling with this every day. Every day. Now, what do we do about this? When we can define something, we can overcome it. It's like a doctor. Many times when a doctor can diagnose a disease, then they can have a treatment for that disease, and there can be a cure. So therefore, what we have to do, we have to go back and we have to diagnose what's going on here. Because if you don't, then let me tell you what is being taught in our universities today. Quote, let me summarize. This is by William Provine, professor of Cornell University. He wrote in Origins Research, volume 16, he said these words. Let me summarize my views on what modern evolutionary biology tells us loud and clear. There are no gods, no purposes, no goal-directed forces of any kind. Did you capture that? There are no gods, no purposes, no goal-directed forces of any kind. So when we begin to understand that, then all of a sudden we can begin to diagnose the disease. And as we diagnose the disease, we go back. It is man seeking to rebel against God. Now, let me give you a... let's take a test right here. Landon, you ready for a test? You not? Okay. All right, Landon's not ready for a test. Okay, I won't use Landon. Oh, Brother Jim. Okay. You're on. Okay. Brother Jim. Now, 1 plus 3 equals, and I don't want you to say 4, because 4 is religious. And so therefore, I don't want to hear religion. Okay? So 1 plus 3 equals what?
7.
He's right. Now, Landon, 1 plus 3 equals, now don't tell me 4. What does it equal? Did you say 13? You're right. Okay, 1 plus 3 equals, Mr. Amos, did you say 5? You're right. And so therefore, what is the assumption right here? Everybody's right. So therefore, the truth is this: 1 plus 3 equals 4. But if you replace the truth, then what do? You replace it with anything you want to believe. That's exactly what evolution has done. They have taken away the truth, and so therefore they have replaced it with whatever you want it to be replaced by. Now, I'd like for us to walk through the greatest love story. I think it's the greatest love story ever told. The greatest love story ever told begins back in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on day one, this is what God did. He separated the ferment from the waters on day two. On day two, He separated the waters from dry ground and He called it earth. On day three, He created the earth and the seas, and He created grass, herbs, fruit trees, and they were all yielding after their kind. He loves us so much that on day four, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And He gave them a purpose that they would have seasons. Divide the night and the day for seasons and for years and for days. Day five, He created the fish and the fowls of the air according to their kind. And He gave them purpose. He said, be fruitful and multiply. On day six, He created living creatures, cattle, creeping things, and the beast of the earth according to their kind. And then He gave them purpose. Because it was on day six, He created man. And He told man, I want you to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, and over the fowls of the air, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. He loved you. He created you. He placed you there in such a strategic place. And then He took this man, and He put this man in a garden with trees, with fruit trees, with all forms. And He said to this man, He says, look, you can eat of every tree, but there's two trees in there that are special. One's the tree of life. Eat it, you live forever. The other is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave him a command. Don't eat that tree. God put man to work, as He always does. He said, man, come here. And He brought all the animals. By the way, He brought the squirrels. How about the deer? Man, they had to be big racks, okay? He brought the deer. And you know what Adam called them? Adam said, deer. And He brought the hippopotamus. And you know what He called them? Hippopotamus. And you know what God says his name was? Hippopotamus. And then He brought the dinosaur. And the dinosaur. And you know what He called him? Dinosaur. Man, you got it right. And everything. And He named all the animals. And when He got through with all the animals, He looked at Adam and said, Adam, it's not good that you're alone. All the animals, they're wonderful. But Adam, it's not good for you alone. So when Adam laid down that night, or that day, God opened up his side and took out a rib. And out of that rib, He formed woman. You know, that reminds me. Out of that side came forth life. Do you remember the Lord Jesus? When He hung up on the cross, somebody opened up His side and water and blood flowed out. But the blood of Jesus is life. Is life. So there in the garden, He opened up His side and brought forth life. Beautiful life. You know what Adam said in the Hebrew when he saw her? Let me quote you a Hebrew word. Wow. That's right. That's Hebrew. So next time you go to school, tell your teacher, hey, I know Hebrew. What's that? Wow. Okay, and that's what he did. He said, wow. And he says, now, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of my side. Out from his side, not under his feet, to be loved, to be cherished, to be protected, to be secured. She shall be called woman. And he said, for this reason, man shall leave father and mother, and the two shall become one. And the last verse in chapter 2 says, and they were both naked and not ashamed. Can you imagine that just for a moment? What a love story. Living in the garden of God, no sin, no sorrow, no shame. The beauty of God's creation. That's what I call the greatest love story. You know, they were in a garden. This garden, it was the Garden of Eden. But you know, that reminds me of another garden. That was the Garden of Gethsemane. It reminds me of another garden. It was the garden in which Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified in a garden. But out of that garden, sin and sorrow was paid for. Life. God's got another garden one day. One day, you're going to have the opportunity to eat of the tree of life in the garden, in a place called paradise. And the Scripture says there's healing in its leaves, and it bears year-round, never an off-season, always light, the light of Jesus Christ. A love story, a love story. That one day you will enter in to a relationship, even as Adam and Eve. And there was no shame. Because you know what that reminds us of? One day, the bride of Christ is going to be presented to the Lamb. And there will be the marriage feast of the Lamb. I mean, a love story? Man, that's what books are written about. And we have seen this love that's founded in Jesus Christ. And I trust that today, that you can share that love with many. Because you see, in reality, that creates the foundation of what we're looking at. I'd like for you to pick up in verse chapter 2, verse 4. The Scripture says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Hey, by the way, do you need any more? Is that enough? Can we just say, okay, we want to depend and we want to look at the Scripture in the day in which we were created? But now, wait a minute. I wish I could say, it's all over, folks. Let's go home. I wish I could say that. But as long as there are teachers, as long as there are books, as long as there are those who are saying there are no gods, no purposes, no goal-directed forces, listen, if we don't have an Adam and an Eve, what do we have? If you don't believe the book of Genesis, if you cannot accept the book of Genesis, then you have no faith. Let me put it like this. If there's no Adam, there's no Eve. If there's no Eve, there's no children. If there's no Adam, there's no garden. If there's no garden, there's no sin. If there's no sin, there's no dying. If there's no dying, there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, there's no Savior. Do you see how it all goes back to the book of Genesis? That you've got to capture this. You've got to create. All of a sudden, hey, Lana, don't let nobody tell you, okay? Don't let nobody tell you. But let me give you five reasons. Let me give you five reasons why we as Christians, we don't need to be on the defense. Listen, folks, we've got a foundation to work with. We know what we believe and we know why do we believe it. Let me just give you five reasons real quick. Number one, five conclusive statements. Who created God? Whoops. Who created the world? God did. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. And so therefore, that's a conclusion. We don't have to prove it. We just have to present it. Number two, what was created? All things. Exactly right. All things were created. Now, you've got to understand this, because if I have time, I'm going to share you with this guy named Miller. Said, oh no, we don't need God. Because in the textbooks of our children, there is the Miller experiment. And in this Miller experiment, this scientist says, oh, I created amino acid, which is the basis for human life. And because of that, we don't need God because we can create life. That's being taught today in our schools. But what's not being taught is Miller's experiment that, in fact, yes, he did create amino acid, which is a base form for life. But with amino acids, there's always what is known as the left-hand amino acid and the right-hand amino acid in every situation. And so therefore now, but in every form of life, there is only right-hand amino acids, never left-hand. Okay? Follow me with this. There's only right-hand. Now, when a person dies, we're talking about the basic molecular structure, how we're made up, okay? When a person dies, that left-hand amino acid begins to convert and you have right-hand and left-hand amino acids. Now, what this means to us is this. Right-hand, left-hand presence means death. In Miller's experiment, yes, he formulated with gases and things in his test tube, amino acids, but what the book doesn't tell you, it was right-hand and left-hand amino acids. He did not create life, but death. You'll never read that in the textbooks. Now, with this in mind, we understand that God created all things. The Scripture says, all things were made by Him, and without Him there was not anything made that was made. Now, number three is, how was it created? Oh, Christina, can you tell me? How was it created? Oh, my goodness, he called on me. And I don't know where I was. She was not cutting up. She was a perfect little lady. How was it created? Think about it. How was it created? And the answer is, Word of God. The Word of God. So you see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 33, 6 through 9 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the seas together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God spake it. What was created? All things. Who created it? God. Number four, when was it created? And by the way, all scientists agree. When was it created? In the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning. But what scientists and many Christians even are wrapped up in this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and so therefore there are those who are confused. They don't realize that just take God at His word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, so therefore it was in the beginning. Now, how long did it take to create? 6 days. That's the right answer. 6 days. But you know, some people say, well, it could have been a day as an era of time. Okay. They say, well, you say 6 days, but one day could have been millions of years. The logic breaks down, and we'll break it down here in a little bit, hopefully. Or it could have been a specified period of time, like in the day of the Lord. That's true. The word day is used in at least three different ways in the Bible, over a period of time, a specific period of event. But it's also used as a 24-hour period. Evening and the morning were the first day. What do I believe? By faith, 24 hours. What problem can God? I mean, come on, He's God. In 6 days, God created everything that was created. Now, when you've got that, you're going to go to school, you're going to go to college one day, Christine, okay? And when you go to college one day, you're going to have some of your friends who are going to laugh at you because you believe in the creation. And they say, oh, it was just a figment. It was just a story. It wasn't really real. Okay, what are you going to tell them? Absolutely. Go, girl. You're going to tell them she's wrong. And so therefore, because some are going to say, oh, it's just a figment of your imagination. And what you do is you reach around in their billfold and you take their billfold and say, this was just a figment of your imagination. I'm going to keep it. Okay? All right, just do that. I mean, yo, we'll say, well, okay, all right. If you want to think that it's just a figment of imagination, let's just go to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, it says words such as this, thou shalt not kill. Is that real? Sure. Thou shalt not steal. Is that real? Okay. Thou shalt. Okay. And so on all of these things, we come back together. So if this is real, thou shalt not kill. This is real, thou shalt not steal. There's that billfold again. I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to split it with you, okay? All right. This is real now, right here. Thou shalt not steal, but all of a sudden, now we're capturing it in verse 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and the seventh day, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and He hallowed it. If stealing's real, if killing's real, then the Lord created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them in 6 days. That's not a figment of imagination. That is reality. So now when we begin to develop and think along this line, what about this thing called evolution? Okay, what? And you say, well, man, I didn't come to hear about evolution. Okay, I accept that. So what I want you to do is to hear about a love story that Christ has shared with you. Now, you think about that love story. And the rest of us who are going to school or been to school and got to face school, you think about this. Evolution. Evolution, because evolution is a fact in the very life in which you are living today. I am telling you, this is fact. If evolution is based on materialism, saying that all that exists is mass and energy, evolution is an ideology that there's no creator God. That's evolution. Now, if evolution is true, the Bible is wrong. If the Bible is true, then evolution is wrong. Well, what are they saying? Oh, they're talking about the Big Bang. 13 to 15 billion years ago, there was this Big Bang. And all of a sudden, these gases and these lights and this mass and energy came into existence, the Big Bang. Well, ask the right question. Where did the Big Bang come from? Where did that mass and energy come from to make the Big Bang? Since all exists is believed to be mass and energy, there can be no supernatural to be accepted. Evolution claims miracles, but no miracle maker. One atheist in Discover magazine said the universe burst into something from absolutely nothing, zero, nada, and as it got bigger, it became filled with even more stuff. They came from absolutely nowhere. Okay. Joseph Silk, PhD, astronomy, professor of astrology in University of Oxford, said, it is only fair to say that we still have a theory without a beginning. Without a beginning. Well, when you get in the course of college, when you get in the course of some of your buddies and all, and y'all start talking about evolution, they're going to say, well, where did God come from? Have you got an answer? Okay, where did God come from? And they're going to try to back you up and say, okay, you're saying in the beginning, where did God come from? Well, it's simple. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, the scripture said, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And what that means is a self-perpetuating without beginning and end. In Revelation 22 verse 13, the scripture says, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, God has no beginning and He has no ending. So therefore, now they're going to say, okay now, but what about this universe? Where did it come from? There's only three possibilities. The first possibility is this. The universe created itself. The second possibility is this. The universe has always existed. And the third possibility is the universe was created. Now, based on science and logic, there's the only three options that you have for this. The universe created itself. Well, let me ask you a real question now. Okay, who wants this one? Okay. Scott. Can something come out of nothing? That's the right answer. Can something come out of nothing? And the answer is no. Can nothing create something? And the answer is no, because that would break the laws of cause and effect. All right, so the universe did not create itself. Number two, the universe has always existed. But what does that do? That breaks the second law of thermodynamics, which means this whole universe is using up its energy. In other words, how much oil do we have? The whole world is using up its energy. In other words, the law of thermodynamics says that it's coming down. Molecules are slowing down. So what does that mean to us? That means that it could not have always existed if it's coming down. So that leaves us only the third option. The universe was created. And the scripture says in the beginning that God created the universe. Now, what are you going to say to people like this? Let's take it back to the strategy of evangelism. If evolution is unable to explain the origin of matter and energy through naturalistic means, then it is without a foundation. Why should I accept evolution when you cannot produce the evidence? I already have a faith. Tell me about your faith and I will tell you about my faith. You tell me what your faith has to offer me and I will tell you what Jesus Christ has to offer you. Got it? Pretty neat, isn't it? What does their faith have to offer you? What does Jesus Christ have to offer you? So these things become down to life. Well, let me just touch a couple of more points right here. What is the formula? What's the model of evolution? Here's what evolution says. About 4.6 billion years ago, the earth formed by all natural processes. They said chemicals formed in a primordial soup over a long period of time. And the chemicals bonded together to form molecules. And the molecules bonded together to make a living cell. So here's their formula. Time plus chance equals life. I think somebody very well put it this way. Once I was a tadpole, beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a bunion tree. And now I am a professor with a PhD. I think that kind of summarizes it. Listen, folks, they are saying if we can create all these things, we don't need a God. The fossil record, hey, if evolution was true, all these stages would be fossilized. It doesn't exist. And they say, well, what about dinosaurs? What about them? If you go in the book of Job, you can also read about the dinosaurs. Isn't it amazing? God made dinosaurs. Isn't that neat? Where are the dinosaurs today? Extinct. Yeah, they're gone. They're gone. How do you know dinosaurs existed? Man, go to the museum. And then when it reads down there, oh, this species of dinosaur was created 2.4 million years ago. Say, liar. What was that? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay. I mean, and so therefore, all of a sudden, we begin to understand these. So therefore, it's not hard to understand. The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Dinosaurs, David Norman said, the question of the origin of the dinosaur is one that puzzles palynologists for many years. Listen, we understand it. Well, where did a lot of this stuff get its hand? Darwin and the Origin of the Species. Okay, that's where a lot of it got started. And then we go back into 1925, from July the 10th to July the 21st, 1925, there was a trial, and it was called the Scopes Trial. The ACLU, does that sound a little bit familiar? Okay. American Civil Liberties Union back in 1925. The ACLU said they were looking for somebody to go up against the state of Tennessee because of the state of Tennessee taught this. You cannot teach evolution in the school. Man, Tennessee was right then, whatever happened. You cannot. And so the ACLU came up and brought a suit against them, and they found this man named Scope, age 24. Later on, he said, I never taught that stuff in classes. Only thing I did was teach a few football plays in class. But the ACLU took him, and they used him as their person, and they brought a trial, and what they did, they made a circus out of it. The evolution wanted to so embarrass anybody that had anything to do with this so that they would not come up against those who taught evolution. In so much of this circus, they even brought a trained ape into there and paraded it all around the town. Now, the evolutionists didn't have anything to stand on. There was no facts, but what they said was this. Their number one thing was called the Nebraska Man. Now, what happened was that there was found this tooth. And they brought this tooth to an artist. And they said, we want you to draw a rendition, a picture. And so they took a tooth and they drew a picture of a man that looked like an ape. And they said, here is the evidence. The whole trial was based on a tooth. Now, they came back later, and some other researchers, they came back and they dug up and they found where the tooth came from, and the tooth came from a pig. And that's where it all started in, from the tooth of a pig. And you can say, what happens today? Well, we can share with you what is happening today. If you deny God, you've got to put something back in its place. Let me give you somebody that understood that. His name was Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler said, people are more likely to believe a big lie than a small one. He also said, people are more likely to tell, let me read that for you. If you tell a lie long enough and often enough, the people will believe it. If you found that to be true, if you tell a lie long enough and often enough and loud enough, people will believe it. Hitler said, don't tell a small lie, tell a big one. And that's what's happened. I reject evolution. Evolution is a faith-based belief system. It denies God and replaces Him with a humanistic agenda. It seeks to make a man a God and denies the existence of a creator. It cannot defend scientifically. It states time plus chance equals life. It is illogical and it breaks down because it has no foundation. No foundation for what they believe. So I reject it logically. Nothing plus time plus chance equals simple cell. One cell plus time plus chance equals man. Logically, that breaks down. Morally, The survival of the fittest. Charles Darwin said this in some of his writings and teaching. He says, to the elderly, let them die. To the weak, let them die. To the poor, just if they don't stand up and defend themselves, just let them die. Because that is part of the evolutionary process. So what do? That which is weak, snuff it out. That which is weakly, destroy it. That which is elderly, kill it. That which is, by the way, do y'all remember who Hitler was? And do y'all remember his big thing? They wanted to have the race, the superior race. Where did that teaching come from? Charles Darwin. And so therefore, all of a sudden, now when that happens, then all of a sudden morality is broken down. Why not kill a man? That's just part of the process. Why not steal from a man? That's just part of the process. Why not kill in abortions? That's just part of the process. Because what you're seeking to do is have the survival of the fittest so that the evolutionary process will continue on. Take God out of the picture. You got to put something in. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, doesn't matter where it's written, doesn't matter who says it's true, God gave us knowledge and wisdom, and these men have rejected it. And by the way, 50% of Americans will stand with you, and the other 50% have bought into the hoax. Let me ask you a few questions. Number one, who created the heavens and the earth? What was created? How was it created? When was it created? How long did it take to create it? Absolutely. And the one who created loves you and says you're special. Y'all remember the clip at the beginning. You're special. God loves you and He wants you to know this morning. He's got all things under control and you're special. And He wants to have a relationship with you. Wouldn't it have been neat to be there with Adam and Eve? Because the one element that I didn't tell you was this. Adam and Eve walked in the garden and God talked to them. Adam and Eve walked, and there was peace. God created you to have fellowship with you. Very, very special. You are special. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we come with truth. We come by understanding, Lord, that the educational system of our country has dealt a blow against humanity and spread this lie worldwide. We understand, Lord, that error is being taught in our schools. But we understand that God's Word is true. And let God's Word be true and let every man be a liar. And so, God, we stand upon the truth. And because You created us, we have responsibility to You and purpose. Help us, Lord, to love, to share, to care. Help us, God, to stand up against evil no matter where, no matter what its face looks like. Help our children, help our youth, help our young men and young women to rise up and say no, no to error wherever it's found. Let us live the life that You created us for. May we have fellowship, walk with You, and have peace. Knowing one day, Lord, one day, the bride of Christ will be presented spotless without any error. One day, God. We'll see you and we'll be with you. But until that time, let us live the life that you created us to live for your honor and for your glory and with fellowship and relationship with you in the greatest love story ever told. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ, to enter into a relationship with the God who created you. How can you do that? Well, one way in which you can do that is by giving your life to Jesus Christ and saying, "Yes, Jesus, I want you." If you'd like to give your life to Christ, I'd like for you to come stand with me for a few moments. Others, the prayer altars are going to be open because there's big needs. In a group this size, there's big needs. We got a big God. Because we got a big God, He's in charge, and He can meet your needs. Today, I'd like for you just to respond the way that God wants you to. Giving your life, spending time in prayer, other special needs. Let's stand together and sing.